John chapter 13, I'll begin reading with verse 18. I'll read through verse 30. Hear God's word. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do it quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. I'd ask that you please join me in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you give to us a full measure of your Holy Spirit. Teach us, lead us, enable us, we pray, to understand your word and its truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Today's Bible text describes several of the things that were occurring during the final Passover meal that Jesus and his disciples would ever eat together. Just prior to his being taken away, before his departure from this earth. And you might recall that the first verse of this 13th chapter had mentioned that the hour had come for Jesus to leave, and that it was now time for him to return to heaven, for him to return to his Father in heaven. Today's Bible text describes several things associated with this final Passover meal, or what has traditionally been called the Last Supper. And what is truly remarkable about today's Bible text is the fact that it not only describes what had occurred physically or visibly or noticeably during this final supper, but it also discerns and discovers what was going on secretly inside of, that is privately within human hearts. And in particular, within the heart of one disciple who was bent on betraying Jesus. The title of today's message is The Heart of Betrayal. And there are three features found inside of this unbelieving heart, within this traitorous heart that we will be observing today. The first feature belonging to this heart of betrayal is its hypocritical involvement. The words of Jesus contained in our Bible text, his words in verse 18, make it clear that not every one of his 12 disciples was a true disciple or a legitimate follower of himself. In verse 17, Jesus had just finished speaking about people who will be blessed as a consequence of what they believe in and what they know to be true. The problem with hypocrites in general, and with this particular betrayer of Jesus, is that they only pretend to believe and to do what they know is true. hypocrites also pretend that they will receive God's blessing just by going through the motions. Just by doing outward things or external things, the meaning of which never penetrates their own hearts. Neither the statement that Jesus made about people doing the right thing nor the statement about people being blessed accordingly applies to pretenders or hypocrites. What's more, the blessing from God, which Jesus spoke about in verse 17, pertained to most of his disciples, but it did not pertain to all 12 of them. This blessing from God did not pertain to Judas Iscariot because he was a hypocrite, he was disloyal, and he was a turncoat. And Jesus knew that Judas would soon betray him. Jesus' words at the beginning of our Bible text shows that the blessing that is mentioned in verse 17 does not apply to all of his disciples. The words of Jesus in verse 18 are, "I am not speaking of all of you." Not every one of the 12 disciples would be blessed. Judas would be an exception. He would be excluded from this blessing. He would be excluded because of his hypocrisy and because of his eagerness to betray Jesus Christ. In verse 18, Jesus distinguishes and he separates his true disciples from his false disciples. The words of Jesus in the middle part of verse 18 are, "I know whom I have chosen." Jesus knew precisely who his true disciples were because Jesus Christ, according to his divine nature, is omniscient, is all-knowing. Jesus knew exactly who his authentic followers were because he himself had chosen them. Jesus knew those disciples who were legitimately his own, and he knew those who were his own way back then when he spoke or uttered these words. And today, he continues to know each and every person who truly belongs to himself. Jesus knew his disciples were back then, and he knows whether or not you are his true disciple today. He knows who are his own because he has handpicked each and every one of his own chosen sheep. He has elected and he has selected every true follower of himself. The words of Jesus contained in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 7 through 8 are, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Jesus had chosen each of the 12 disciples to be involved with him, to be involved with himself as part of his ministerial team. Even Judas, whom Jesus has called a devil, was included, and he participated in the outward functions of this ministry. But the heart of Judas was far removed from Jesus Christ. While Judas was a disciple in a formal sense, the wicked heart inside of Judas was never changed. Jesus had chosen him to affiliate with his 11 other disciples, and Judas participated in the formal functions of this ministry, yet Judas was never chosen by Jesus for salvation. The heart of Judas was never anything other than the heart of a hypocrite and a betrayer. Here are a couple points of application that may be taken from our Bible text. Application number one, every believer must understand that they did not first seek or choose Jesus, but that Jesus first chose and sought them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says that he chose us in him even before the foundation of the world was laid. Even before God created this world, you were chosen in Jesus Christ. And the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." The words to hymn 471 of the Trinity hymnal are, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, had thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me, have cleansed and set me free. Of old thou had ordained me that I should live for thee. 'Twas sovereign mercy called me and opened up my mind. The world had else enthralled me to heavenly glories blind. My heart owns none before thee. For thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing if I love thee, thou must have loved me first." The second point of application is this. Take spiritual inventory of your life and make sure that you yourself are elect and a genuine believer and follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, make sure that you are not a Judas, nor a hypocrite, nor a pretender. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Peter has provided for us a list of things that keep us from stumbling, and which also enable us to have confidence that we are true or authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Listen to the list of ways that we can be certain that we are of God's elect and that we are true disciples of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 reads, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind." There's a big difference between knowing what to do and what to believe as a follower of Jesus Christ and actually following or believing what Jesus has taught to his disciples. From every outward appearance, Judas had been following Jesus. He had prayed when Jesus had prayed. He had participated in the religious rituals and ceremonies when the other disciples participated in such things. Physically speaking, he had been involved and he had been seen following Jesus around. He had been with Jesus and with his disciples. He went everywhere they had gone. But his heart was one of betrayal. The heart of Judas was the heart of a pretender and a hypocrite. The hypocrisy of Judas was never more noticeable or conspicuous as on that occasion when he had criticized Mary for using her own perfume for anointing Jesus for his burial. Judas had protested and he suggested that this perfume could have been sold and the proceeds could have been given to benefit poor, underprivileged people. However, Judas truly wanted to pilfer money from the collection bag. He wanted access to where such funds would have been kept. It is not enough to know what Jesus said, and it's not enough to merely be seen at Jesus' side or be seen in the company of other believers. You must have Jesus in your heart, and you must sincerely believe the gospel. Judas was physically involved with Jesus. He worked alongside of Jesus in his ministry and alongside of the other disciples, and yet his heart was far removed from Jesus Christ. His heart was treacherous. It was a heart of a traitor. And the extent of Judas's involvement in our Lord's ministry was merely that of a hypocrite or a false pretender. The second feature belonging to the heart of betrayal, the heart that belonged to Judas, is its harmful impact. Jesus had treated Judas the same way he had treated his other disciples. He hadn't treated him any differently. He treated all of his disciples with tender love and with pastoral care. Jesus was like any good shepherd in that he had fed his sheep well. You'll recall that he had given them bread to eat and that he had fed them abundantly. In John chapter 6, we have a record of the miracle that Jesus had performed when he fed 15,000 people with only two fish and five barley biscuits. The crowd consisted of 5,000 men plus women and children for a grand total of 15,000. John supplies many details regarding this feeding miracle, and one of the details which John mentions is the fact that there were leftovers after every crowd member had eaten. 12 baskets of leftovers, to be precise. However, the baskets were not the only things that had been filled or were full of food. John chapter 6 and verse 12 says that every crowd member finished with a full stomach or tummy. Verse 12 says, when everyone had eaten their fill. The New Living Translation says, everyone was full. In our Bible text for today, verse 18 contains the words of Jesus, where Jesus speaks of his betrayer. He speaks of Judas as someone who had eaten bread that Jesus had supplied. The words of Jesus in verse 18 are, he who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Jesus uttered this prophecy in reference to his betrayer, and in doing so, Jesus predicted that harm would come to himself through the traitorous actions of Judas Iscariot. The words to Jesus' prophecy echo the sounds of words which are contained in Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9 says, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. The words of Jesus in John 15, 13 are, no man has greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus would eventually show the greatness of his love by dying on behalf of his friends. However, Judas would eventually show the greatness of his hatred for Jesus and the greatness of his own betrayal by causing harm to come to Jesus, even though Jesus regarded Judas as a close and trusted friend. This metaphor has lifted up his heel against me, is a figurative expression that Jesus had borrowed from Psalm 41. This metaphor describes someone administering or delivering a kick into the body of someone else. This is what the idiom, to lift up one's heel against someone else, actually means. Jesus used this metaphor to underscore the adversity which the actions of his betrayer would cause for himself. They would affect Jesus the same way that a swift kick the same way that a swift kick to the stomach would. Jesus had shown love to Judas. He had fed him with bread. Jesus had fed him along with the other 15,000 members of the multitude, and he had fed him with bread during his last supper when he allowed Judas to join him by dipping his hand into the bowl. Jesus had been kind and generous to Judas, and how would Judas repay Jesus? Figuratively speaking, he would kick Jesus in the gut. The third feature belonging to the betrayer's hypocritical heart is its hidden identity. In our Bible portion for today, Jesus revealed a secret to his 12 disciples that otherwise would have remained hidden from them. Jesus told them that one of his disciples would betray him. Jesus not only told his disciples a secret, but he explained why. Explained why he was revealing this secret to them. In verse 19, Jesus explained that he was disclosing this classified information so that when this prophecy was fulfilled, or when it became true, then they, his disciples, would know and believe that Jesus is the great I Am. Listen to verse 19 of our Bible text. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am He. The New International Version renders verse 19 this way. I am telling you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Only the great I Am is all-knowing or omniscient. Only the great I Am knows the things that will occur before they occur. We've already observed that Jesus could distinguish between his true disciples and those who were fake or fraudulent. He knew who his true disciples were because he had chosen them. He had chosen his own sheep for himself. The words of Jesus in verse 18 are, I know whom I have chosen. Jesus knew what would occur in the future. He knew that one of his disciples would be revealed as a false disciple by betraying him. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him in the future. He knew this before it happened because Jesus is sovereign and is Lord over the future. Jesus knows the beginning from the end because Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the great I Am. He is the Lord and Creator of the universe. Chapter 3 of the Westminster Confession of Faith says this about God's eternal decree. God, from all eternity, did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. Yet in a manner that neither is God the author of sin, nor is the will of the creatures destroyed, nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. Jesus Christ foreordained whatsoever came to pass. He foreordains whatever comes to pass because he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all things. Jesus knows everything, and he knew the traitorous secrets that were lying hidden inside of Judas's heart. All other human beings are finite creatures, mere mortals, who cannot read minds despite their curiosity about what other people may or may not be thinking. We are curious creatures. But as mere mortal creatures, we cannot predict the future ahead of time. But Jesus can, and Jesus did. It wasn't at all difficult for Jesus to predict what would occur, what would happen, because Jesus had decreed what would happen. Jesus decreed whatsoever would come to pass. Jesus knew that one of his disciples would betray him, and he knew exactly which one of his disciples would betray him. The disciples became increasingly curious after Jesus had predicted his coming betrayal. The disciples wanted to know precisely who it was that was going to betray him. And upon hearing the news, verse 22 says, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Verse 23 and verse 24 shows us that the disciples of Jesus were not satisfied with their uncertainty. They were not content, and that they were uncomfortable not knowing the identity of the betrayer. That's what curiosity does to us. It makes us uncomfortable not knowing something. Verse 23 speaks of a disciple whom Jesus loved, who was close to Jesus, who was reclining at his side. And Peter wanted to take advantage of the special love that Jesus had for this particular disciple. Peter wanted to take advantage of this beloved disciple's nearness to Jesus. Peter wanted to take advantage of these things to discover the identity of the betrayer. Therefore, Peter enlisted the help of the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is presumably the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel. Peter enlisted the help of John to acquire information that would enable them to discover the identity of the betrayer of Jesus Christ. Listen to verses 23 and 24. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" In verse 26, Jesus identified for John who his betrayer was. And it says that he did so through a physical action. He did so by dipping a morsel of bread into the bowl and then handing it to Judas. However, our Bible portion for today doesn't say whether or not John then relayed this information to Peter, or if instead John held on to it in secret. The bottom line is this. Peter could not have known who Jesus' betrayer was unless John had conveyed the information about Judas to Peter. Verse 27 says that the heart of Judas was immediately occupied by Satan. Judas became demonically possessed the very moment that he received the bread. The fact that Judas was now demonically possessed, or the fact that Satan had entered into his soul, this is something that only Jesus and Judas could have known was true at that time. After all, Judas knew himself, and Jesus knows everything and everyone. This information was later disclosed to or made available to the Apostle John, which enabled him to add this information to his gospel account as an editorial comment. Now, it was after Judas had taken this morsel of bread that Jesus then commanded Judas to do quickly whatever it was he intended to do. And Jesus here was referring to the implementation of the act of Judas's betrayal. However, The other disciples were unclear about Jesus' instruction to Judas. They were unclear about the meaning of the words that Jesus had spoken. They misinterpreted the words of Jesus, assuming that Jesus had spoken about the need for Judas to purchase more groceries for the feast. Human curiosity doesn't enable men to predict the future. It doesn't enable us to see inside the heart or soul of another individual. Human curiosity cannot predict the future. However, divine omniscience can. Jesus could, and he can see inside of other people. He can see clearly inside your heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ looks upon the heart. He sees the secrets that are stored inside there. He knows all of our desires. He knows all of our thoughts, all of our secrets. He knew the heart of his betrayer better than his betrayer knew his own heart. Jesus knew that Judas intended to bring him harm, which is why Jesus told Judas to hurry up and be done with it, to finish what he had to do quickly. Although Judas had eaten well, despite the fact that he'd received his fill, bread from the hand of Jesus, the betrayer was nevertheless powerless to do what was right. Judas was a child whose soul belonged to Satan. There are only two people who know the secrets that you have stored inside of your heart. You know what secrets are inside of you, and Jesus Christ knows what secrets are stored inside of you. And he also knows how you will respond to the bread that he gives. He knows whether or not you will be grateful for this bread, or if instead, like Judas, you will kick him in the gut. Jesus has given you bread, and he has done so at tremendous cost. The price of bread was his life, sacrificed on the tree. And Jesus has not only supplied you with physical nourishment, he has provided for your spiritual health and for your spiritual growth. Jesus is the true bread from heaven. John chapter 6, verses 32 and 33 reads, Jesus then said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus is true bread from heaven. Jesus is the living bread. He is the bread for which your soul must hunger and thirst. He is bread when it is eaten, which when eaten fills and satisfies your soul. So come and dine. Feast upon the living bread which nourishes your soul unto eternal life. Eat, feast, dine, eat your fill unto complete satisfaction, and be grateful. Amen.